Fitchburg School Committee meeting of Monday, June 15, 2026, the last of the season. Please be advised that FATV is conducting an audio and video recording of this meeting for public broadcast. If anyone in the audience is recording, please identify yourself now. Seeing none, I would ask at this time that all your electronic devices, please put them into silent mode. Which that's done for me. Next on our agenda, we will do the salute to the flag. Lindsay England, will you please lead us in the salute to the flag?
Glad to.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, up next on our agenda, we have school committee member and student reports, school committee chair report, none at this time, resource subcommittee report. Mr. Stevens.
I will just give a brief report on school building maintenance. We only had four pages this month, slow month for the
That's
school
it,
building maintenance. They just fixed the number of repairs in the school. Anything taking school building?
No. No, just they do good work.
Yeah. Well, everything seems to be going well in school building maintenance. Yeah.
All right, thank you very much. Any comments or questions from committee members? Seeing none, school building needs.
Resource, going to be presenting the budget tonight.
Yeah. Quarter 4 budget update tonight.
Yeah.
Update.
Quarter 4.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Questions or comments on resource subcommittee? Okay, great. Thank you, Pete. Seeing none, we'll move on to policy subcommittee.
Okay, we met on June 11th, and we have 6 policies. Two policies, JICJA, which is a cell phone and personal electronic device use, is for the final reading tonight. And then policy JKAA is the timeout, seclusion, and physical restraint of students, and it's the final reading for that as well. And then we have policy EEAEA, which is a bus driver examination and training, which is revised. Policy JFBB, school choice, which is a revised. Policy KGB, which is a parent advisory councils, which is also a revised one. And policy JLCD, administering medicine to students. We are going to ask you if we can have the first reading tonight and skip the second reading, because these are all changes to policies from the Mass Association of School Committee. And that will be it for this year. We look forward to working together next year. I feel like we got a lot done this year with the policy committee. Oh, thank you.
So you're asking just like send it through with second reading and we'll do the final reading at the next school committee, or
no, we would like to
fully approve it.
Fully
tonight.
Approve it tonight, because these are changes from MASC, and there's really nothing to discuss on them. As you can see when you're reading
by the
policies. MASC,
correct? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I
can talk a little bit more about those changes in detail. I have a quick summary of each of the 4 policies and exactly what's changed.
And when it comes to us in the agenda, we can just ask for suspension of the rules for those particular policies.
You can go with the first reading and waive the second.
Yep. And we're actually glad that we got these before the end of this school year. So that we could see that they are sending us the updated ones now that our, his work has been complete on updating everything, and how now we're going to do this with ones that come in.
on a regular basis, since we're on the electronic system for the Mass School Committee, we get the regular updates, so we don't have to wait 50 years.
Very efficient.
To do a comprehensive overview.
Very efficient.
That sounds like a plan. All right, thank you, Deb. Any questions on policy? All right. Moving on then, thank you. Student support.
Student Support Committee will be meeting on September 14th at 5 o'clock p.m. here in the Legislative Building.
September 14th.
I know. Don't wish the summer away.
It'll be here before we know it.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you very much. School Personnel Subcommittee, we have nothing to report.
Question for Mr. Thompson.
Yes.
Will we be starting this fall in negotiations with the seven units?
Yeah, so we'll have to discuss when we would like to start that. Usually we send a letter saying that our intent to bargain. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so we will have to start that late fall, early winter.
For June 30th of 2027?
Yes, correct.
Yeah, last time we started in January?
January, yep. Mm-hmm. So. Yes, all seven contracts are up for renegotiation.
Everything we do is fine.
Yes, yes. Thank you, Mr. Tom.
Okay, great. Student Advisory Committee that met earlier this evening at 5 p.m. It was our first meeting with our new Student Advisory Committee members. Two of the five joined us, Gabriella Costa and Maeve McGinnis. Thank you for joining us. The way the Student Advisory Committee works is we meet four times a year with the Student Advisory Committee and the Fitchburg City School Committee and the superintendents, and discuss any issues that are going on within the school that school committee members really should know, and vice versa. So there are three members elected from the Fitchburg High School public body, or the school body, and then there are two members from Goodrich Academy. So of those five members, they will be convening in the next week or so to elect one of their own to be the student representative that sits on the school committee. So if any of the students that are at Fitchburg High or Goodrich Academy have any questions about what's going on or any issues that you'd like to raise, make sure that the school committee knows about that or the school administration. The Student Advisory Committee is your avenue, and the student representative as the voice and a seat at the table. So make sure to make those connections as often as possible, or I mean, as often as you need to address any concerns or share any good information, anything that we need to promote or any problems that we need to fix.
I had that on my agenda item too, Mayor. You mind if I just add the names?
Absolutely.
Say the names out loud. So I did want to acknowledge the three members from Fitchburg High on the committee. We have Donna Mendes, Gabriella Costa, and Maeve McGinnis. And at Goodrich Academy, we have Zachary Belanger and Destiny Ramos. So those are the five students for next year's Student Advisory Committee.
And when is the next meeting of the Student Advisory Committee?
It's October. The second, whatever our second meeting is in October, that is actually our first meeting here.
Excellent.
Yeah.
All right. All right. Any comments or questions about Student Advisory Committee? All right. Moving on. The student representative will be elected, and we will see them September 14th, our first meeting?
I think it is 14th, yep.
So we'll meet our student representative September 14th. And okay, upcoming next on our agenda is the approval of the minutes from our previous school committee meeting of June 1st.
Make a motion to approve June 1st.
Second.
Any meeting?
Motion and second to approve the minutes of the meeting from June 1st. Comments or questions?
Stereo.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right, that is unanimously approved. Thank you. Up next, we have communications.
Yeah, we have several communications today.
All right, would you like to introduce them, Superintendent Thompson?
We have our Civics Action Project presentations coming up this week on June 18th. To get a little taste of the work that we'll be seeing on June 18th, we have Ms. Sachs here from Memorial Middle School. She's one of our 8th grade civics teachers. And I'd like to invite Ms. Sachs up.
Hi, so I'm Kristen Sachs. As you said, I teach at Memorial. I'm one of the 8th grade teachers, civic teachers, along with Mr. Serafini.
Thank you.
And I just came to talk to some of the new faces here about the Action Civics project that we do every year. Some of you may or may not know, in Massachusetts, all eighth grade students are required to complete a student-led action civics project. And here in Fitchburg, we use the curriculum known as the Democratic Knowledge Project, otherwise known as DKP, which guides them through the process of that student-led project, identifying an issue, something that they care about, researching that issue, researching the root causes of it, gathering evidence, and then identifying stakeholders and decision makers, and hopefully having meetings with them, and then evaluating possible solutions, and then hopefully taking some informed civic action. The focus is not necessarily on completing the project or whether they solve the problem. It's more so of the process that they go through, helping them understand how government works, who makes the decisions, who do they have to go to, basically getting them effectively participating in the community and giving them those valuable skills of critical thinking, collaboration, research, communication, and then, of course, civic engagement. And so one of the highlights of the year for our curriculum is the Action Civics, the Fitchburg Civics Day, which is June 18th, here at the Legislative Building from 10 to 1. And it's an opportunity for the students to showcase what they've done. And again, not necessarily solve their problem or finish the project. It's more of the process that they got through. Some of them will get to the action stages of having a meeting with people or presenting to like city council. And others will just come up with their ideas as a solution and hopefully take action on it moving into the high school, because the high school does do the Action Civics project as well. In the 12th grade, 11th and 12th grade. And so my hope is that they take what they learn in the 8th grade and then continue it into the high school. And I also wanted to share some of those projects with you. And then I also want to give you a little bit of information that Mr. Serafini gave you about some growth that we've had with the Action Civics project. And I'll give this to you, and then I'm going to hand it over to the kids. Just so you can kind of see, we started in 2019 with a pilot program known as Generation Citizen for our Action Civics project. And that was really one class. It was myself and Mr. Cannon took on that one class. And that one group worked on homelessness. And I believe it was about something to do with their ID cards and the money and the cost of the ID cards. And we took that group to Boston, to the State House, which was very cool, for the State Civics Day Showcase. And they actually won that day for the Open-Mindedness Award, which was very cool. Since then, we've gone to the State Civics Day every year. It's been in Boston. It's been in Worcester at Clark University. This past month, it was at the DCU Center. And so we've continued to take them to the State Civics Day. 2023, they actually got, I had a group that won for taking action as well at the state level, so that was very cool. So we've been doing the State Civics Day since 2019, with the exception of COVID, obviously, of 2020, 2021. But we've gone to 5 State Civics Days, and we've also had our own local Civics Days along with that. I think we've had, this is our 4th annual one, I think, this year. And so there's been a lot of growth since then. Teacher leadership, as far as the teachers that are involved, and this is just eighth grade. I did have high school before. That has gone from 6 teachers participating to 10 teachers now participating in the Action Civics. Student voice, as far as projects go, that is also up. We've had 13 projects at our local Civics Day to begin with, and now we have 20. So that has definitely skyrocketed. And then the judges, as far as community engagement, so we're trying to get a lot of city council, hopefully you guys coming in, and then just community members in general. When I started the Civics Day in 2021, 2022, we had 7 judges. Now we have 24, except maybe 23, because I don't think someone can show up on Mr. Roach. 23?
Yeah.
Local Civics Day.
It's a little guilt, Mr. Roach.
He's busy. We understand. We understand. But it has gone. We have grown, obviously, from getting that many people interested in coming in and helping us out and listening to the students. And then as far as the projects go, like I said, we started out with 12 projects. When we started the Action Civics, it was a whole class project, so everybody got involved in like the one topic. Now it's more individual using Democratic Knowledge Project, and so we now have 20 projects on Thursday that will be here. My hope is the takeaways, my hope is that next year and the years coming is that we can really increase the projects and get a bigger venue, because we're kind of getting a little too big now for this venue, actually. And my hope is to have all students, eighth grade from Longzhou and middle school, to be able to present and to be able to have that experience and that opportunity to showcase what they've been doing. Because right now it's just limited to a certain amount of kids, and then the other kids, we try to put their posters and their things up in the school so other people can see them. But I would love for all of the students to have that opportunity. And so that is one thing that I would like to change. And then just to continue growing our partnerships with the community members and getting them in here so they can see what awesome stuff these kids are doing. So with that being said, I'm gonna let them speak for themselves to show you the awesome stuff that they've been doing.
Come on up. And actually, this is a program.
We can take a look at it. This is the program for Thursday.
Good evening. My name is Alana Boschman. I'm an eighth grader at Memorial Middle School. We are here to talk about our Action Civics project, Reviving the Youth Commission. We picked this topic because we as students should have a voice in local government, because we have the knowledge since we take civics in eighth grade. We have meet with a lot of people in our local government, like City Councilor at Large Sally Cragen, City Councilor at Large Anthony Zerillo, and Superintendent of Finance Jeremy Roach, and a member of the Human Rights Commission, Mark Baltier. We talk to them about the Youth Commission and what we could do to revive it and running. We also wrote a proposal on what we would like to change in the old proposal. We have looked over the different schools and how they run their Youth Commission. We have looked at the topics in the different schools and saw that most of the topics are summer programs and mental health. We are also meeting with City Council tomorrow, and hopefully we can have a meeting with Mayor Squirlia, and would very much like to work with us to get this active. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Samantha Dimmick, and I'm here for the Youth Commission, and our team wrote an opinion piece about reviving the Youth Commission in Fitchburg, and the main reason that we wanted to get this published is because we wanted to raise awareness about this topic, and we wanted to make sure it's heard, like, for everybody in Fitchburg, to spike interest for adults and students this time around, because it was shut down, and we wanted to get it back up, and this is just one of my ways of spreading the word.
Thank you.
Hello, my name is Jeremy Gill. And me and my team are here for Youth Commission. And we learned about it in seventh grade when the future eighth graders were talking about their civics projects and what they were gonna do. So we kind of learned about it and we were interested from the start. And then when we got into eighth grade, we knew what we wanted when this project was coming up towards the end of the year. So basically we just really wanted to have a say in everything and have a voice and have just basically, yeah, say.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello, my name's Abnea Michelle. And me and like my group here are here to talk about like SNAP benefits. And we both really feel like more awareness needs to be brought towards the subject, as I am like very like intrigued in how people's health get like managed and like what's really important. So I really felt that like more awareness needs to be brought to the subject, and that I could just like find a way to kind of make a difference in my own type of like way. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello, my name is Juliet Valentin. I'm in a group with Apnea, and we have reached out to multiple different people to see if we can raise awareness and make a group potentially on helping the people in our community, and seeing if people in our community can help us pass out groceries to the people in need, because due to the amount of money that is getting taken away from SNAP benefits, and me and Avnia want to raise awareness to make sure that everyone in our community knows that you're not alone, and it's okay if you're struggling, and it's okay to also ask for help. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good job.
Thanks.
So I just want to show you all the work that they do. This is just an example of one of them that they brought. This was in the city table, where they go through their goals, their decision makers, their potential supporters, their actions, and then actually what they actually did. So a lot of work goes into this, a lot of research. Set and ready to go for safety. So hopefully we will see you on the 18th. I know you're coming. If anybody else is available, by all means, everyone is here. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
All right. Next person I'd like to invite up is Counselor Sally Cragen regarding the positive therapy pets.
That was very nice. Greetings to all. My name is Sally Cragen. I serve as a city councilor in the city of Fitchburg. I'm also the director of Be Positive Therapy Pets. There are some photographs I put together just to look at, because some of our pet teams were not able to be represented here tonight. This is our 15th year volunteering in Fitchburg Public Schools. You want to look at everyone out there? All right. We started in 2011, bringing pet care education to after-school programs. Before long, teachers were requesting classroom visits, which we were very happy to do. So a really brief recap of where we've been, what we've done, who we've met. Huge thanks to Heather Colby at Rheingold. She coordinated our Monday visits, where children could read to a therapy pet. We also had children visit for social and emotional enrichment. And we worked with the same group of children. It was a kind of a core group of 15, ranging from first grade to fifth grade. And more than a dozen were regulars. So the young ones really developed their own relationships with our therapy pets. Some even picked out books, thinking that a particular therapy pet would like to hear a particular story. We found, as we have in previous years, that children who read to a therapy pet read for a longer period of time, they read a more complex book, and they read a longer book, like they're more ambitious. One young student who is about to enter Memorial in the sixth grade, last fall, when I kept track of his reading times, about 1 to 2 minutes. 2 weeks ago, reading to Reggie, who he really likes, he did 8 minutes, and then we had a little break, and then he did 5 minutes. So this is substantive, and again, last fall, Tina Chilius, the speech-language pathologist, and myself, authored a paper that was published in Mass Association of School Committees and Superintendents, shared throughout the state, you know, on this work. So we hope, we're working on a couple of ideas or a couple of data sets that we'll see where it goes in the next several months. We also began our weekly morning visits to Memorial Middle School, and we worked with Learning Perspectives, and some of these children had known us from Rheingold, and that was really nice to be reunited. We thank Sarah Abner and Mallory Burke, and sometimes Mrs. Sachs, because sometimes she would bring students up as well. Again, this was in the front hall, and I know staff was always happy to see us as well. At Crocker School, we had a couple of different projects we did. First, of course, Mrs. Morrison's art class, working on drawings, where students were going to enter the dog license poster contest. This year, we broke records. More than 700 kids entered, including students from St. Bernard's. So this is very much an all-school project. We also worked with Mrs. Thomas. She had a classroom where we had some kids who had different challenges, and we were able to form small groups and have kids kind of rotate through the small groups. I got some really great questions to answer in my column Pet Talk, which appears every Sunday in the Sentinel. So the last 2 weeks, in fact, I have had children's questions. And I will make sure I send those to you. I've sent them as they've come up. We had two most recently. Not just schoolwork, community work, which overlaps with Fitchburg students in many, many schools. The monthly Read to a Therapy Pet program at the library. So that averages on a Saturday 22 to maybe 30 plus visitors. We've also participated in community events such as the health fair. And we are always open for opportunities to visit. So any teachers watching, just reach out to BePositive 01420 or reach out to me as a city councilor and I'll write you back from the BePositive email. We would also like to thank our team, Cap and Kiefer, the Bernese, Beth and April, a new team, Great Pyrenees, they're terrific, Cheryl and Livy, who is a Yorkie, always at the library, thank you Cheryl and Livy, Roxanne and Walter, our Shepherd mix. We'd also like to thank DJ Sharon and Adriana, who are working on having a therapy dog, who came to visit as well, and it's always great to work with folks who are interested in this work, because it is not something for everyone, but everyone loves the pets. But we'd really also, I don't want to leave out two students who helped us out, Jayla and Cam from Memorial Middle School. I believe they are seventh graders. So they were doing National Honor Society work, and they were like getting hours. And they were great. And they will be working with us next year, but they also helped us to distribute flyers in the college neighborhood 6 weeks ago, because the college neighborhood has an overpopulation of stray cats and cats left behind. So we distributed, they and their family and us, 400 flyers. You know, it was a long afternoon, but this was right before the low-cost pet vaccine clinic, which we also do. And it was great. So again, all of you younger people here, we'd love to have you participate, and we'll see you on Thursday at any event. I'm going to open it up for questions right now.
Questions for Sally?
I just want to know, Sally, you're doing a great job with these cats, and there's some cats out there without a doubt.
Dogs too.
And dogs. I have a dog at home. Where's the funding? How do you receive fundings for that?
The funding, the school department does provide a stipend, which is very helpful. And the we do a lot of fundraising, honestly. We have the lowest fee in terms of if someone wants to do our program and do the workshop and the evaluation period, it is, you know, it's less than $100. But we do fundraising, and I volunteer a lot of time. And again, the volunteer pet teams are all, you know, volunteers. But the last year, District Attorney Joseph Early gave us a grant because of the work we do at the sheriff's office. So we're at the sheriff's office once a month, and that is a really great visit that we do, and the Arc of Opportunity. So again, these are places where we get to visit with grown-ups.
I think, Sally, we are the leader in the state in the pet therapy and education.
We are.
We'll make a presentation again this November at the state convention.
You can count on it.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
No.
Yes. Therapy pets in classrooms. I've got the hours on that, and I can certainly share that, you know, by email once I've tallied everything up. But we've been the leaders, and because we present every year for the last 5 years, a number of area schools have taken up the therapy pet work. Very few of them, I'm sorry to say, don't do the reading work where children read to a therapy pet. Much more precise, much more contained, working with our teachers and working with our speech language and working with our guidance. So we do those programs in the context of the schools and their teachers. So, but yeah, you can count on it. We'll be there. Any questions for Reggie? I'd have to answer for him.
Quiet tonight.
I'll be looking for Reggie riding with me in the front seat.
Oh, we're looking forward to that. Debbie, did you have a question?
No, I just when you said it, Reggie turned and looked at us. So.
he knows his name, and he knows when people are on his side. So thank you for that.
Thank you, Sally.
Thanks.
Sally.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Always a pleasure to see the animals in and out of the schools.
They probably do well.
Probably.
Two giant dogs came into Crawford as I was leaving. I was like, oh.
Hey, Pete, you're up next for my evaluation.
We all ready?
Yep.
Wow. My voice doesn't give out on me here. At this time, I would like to thank the committee for getting their evaluations in so that Mary Alexander and I could pull them together. It was a pleasure doing it this year. It was very satisfying to pull it together. In the evaluation process, there were a number of steps. Step one, assess progress towards goal. The assessment was done on a 4-point scale, 0, 1, 2, 3, 4. Step one, Mr. Thompson was 3.39. John completed his new soup. I will read a few comments as I go through the different steps. John completed his new superintendent induction program on time. He kept the school committee informed on all aspects of his goals. Step two, assessment of performance of standards, 3.5. Superintendent Thompson is always looking ahead to what can enhance what we have and bring us forward. He is approachable and truly enjoys meeting people in the community. Superintendent Thompson continues to make needed improvements in our building. Things are prioritized. If the funds aren't there, he looks at it like it will happen down the road. He often searches for grants that the district could apply for. Step three, rate overall summative performance, 3.33. He's a great communicator, works with the school committee very well. He has a very great relationship with all the school administrators, teachers, and students. He has great leadership skills and management and maintains a professional culture throughout the school district. John has been an excellent leader of Fitchburg Public Schools. He has been a team player. I am happy with his leadership. Overall rating of standard one, instructional leadership, 3.33. John has made every effort to provide district staff with best ways to improve the teaching and support that they do. Overall rating for standard two, management and operation, 3.3. With the assistance of his team, he put together a sound FY27 budget, all the while providing updates to the school committee and the public for transparency. The team was always willing to hear and discuss concerns and answer questions with this committee, which we appreciate. Overall rating for standard three, family and community engagement, 3.33. John was instrumental in finalizing the new Welcome Center and engaging families, which improved the district-wide communication. He scheduled office hours for all to meet. Overall rating for standard four, professional culture, 3.33. Superintendent Thompson believes in practices all means all. Adults and students are respected and valued for who they are. This was reflected in the revision of our policies and the hiring for FHS and Goodrich Academy principals. The policies are inclusive and the principals are individuals with high expectations and compassion for all. So Superintendent Thompson has a really excellent evaluation. Over three, that means he met all expectations and really shows excellence in his performance. Questions? Thank you, Mr. Thompson.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Stevens, for doing all the work to put all that together.
Thank Ms. Mary Alexander, who's not with us tonight, but she's We have a great time putting it all together.
I mean,
all those papers to call it
out. Just an awful lot of nice words to say, Mr. Thompson.
I appreciate the kind words. And I'm so glad everyone was able to hear that.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Humbled.
No questions, comments?
No.
All right. Thank you very much. So, moving on in our agenda, we have public comment. No public comments were emailed to the superintendent, which is always an option. If anyone in the audience would like to speak public comment, you are encouraged to approach the podium. Seeing.
I could see that.
Seeing none, we will move on in our agenda to the superintendent's report.
Thank you, Mayor. This evening, we're really fortunate to have our spring season update. Todd Robbins is here with some students and some high-performing teams that we'd like to talk about this evening. So,
absolutely. Good evening, everyone. Good to see you once again, and I love that we've instituted this three-time annual visit, seeing that good things keep happening, and therefore we get to keep coming to visit. So that's always exciting. I think there's some correlation between those two things. You know, we instituted this, and now we get to come talk about the great things that are going on with our student athletes. I'll say first, thank you all for your support in voting to adopt the Student Athlete Family Handbook at your last meeting. I greatly appreciate that support, and I'm honored to be invited to speak again this evening and recognize our student athletes from spring 2026. Starting first with our boys outdoor track and field team. A team this year with four league all-stars, one all-star relay, therefore by 100-meter team. They were third at the league meet and four event champions individually, including the 4x100-meter relay. Their coaches, Coach Vinny Archipretti, Mark Merchant, and Mr. Chris Woods, who came back to join us this year, which we greatly appreciate. Representing the team this evening is student-athlete Caden Kaczynski. Caden is a junior in the program, along with freshman Cole Ashua and Landon Hester. They placed second as a team last week in the weight pentathlon, also known as the Throwers Pentathlon. This showcases field events and was contested at Shrewsbury High School last week. Caden finished sixth as an individual. Cole finished second as an individual, and the overall team finished in second place in the competition. The event, as I said, showcases field events here in Central Mass. Five events in total, hence pentathlon, a 100-meter dash, the shot put, discus, javelin, and a 200-meter dash to close it out. And a tremendous performance by that team. And I think this is a great example of the growth that has come in our boys' outdoor track and field team. And they've kind of been a little quieter, kind of in the background, as the girls' team has been so far out in front and done such fantastic things, which we'll get to in a minute. This boys' team has continued to grow and build under Coach Archipretti and his staff. And I thought they very much needed to be pointed out this evening for their collaborative efforts in really bringing student athletes from other sports to bear on our indoor and outdoor teams, particularly with the football program, getting those student athletes competing over multiple seasons, not only for their own cardio benefits, but also to grow and find other things that they are really tremendously skilled at, which I think is really great. So congratulations to Caden and the boys outdoor track and field. Moving on to our girls' outdoor track and field team. Head coach Sarah DiPilato-Lamy, assistant coaches Kelly O'Connor and Becca Fluitt. Seven league all-stars for our girls' outdoor track and field team. One all-star relay, the 4x100-meter relay team. Representing the girls' outdoor track and field team this evening is sophomore Jazel Florival. With hardware around her neck, which is fantastic. Love props. 200-meter state champion is Jazel in a time of 25.26 seconds in the 200-meter in her state championship run. She then became the 200-meter school record holder four times over. The state championship run was one of those. Now the current record stands at 25.12 seconds at the MIAA Meet of Champions. She had the fifth fastest MIAA 100-meter time at the Meet of Champions, 12.28 seconds. And then just this past weekend ran in the New England Regionals, a 14th place finish in the 100-meter at 12.60 seconds for all of New England, and in the 200-meter, 25.27 seconds for sixth overall in New England. And that is Jazel Florival in girls' outdoor track. And lastly, for our last spring recognition this evening, well-timed, the flag football team won the Division II state championship last Thursday ahead of our appearance here at the school committee tonight at Merrimack College with a semifinal win by a score of 9-8 and traumatic fashion, maybe? Both dramatic and traumatic, may I add, because I'm pretty sure I got grayer as that game went on. Into triple overtime that game went to come out with the 9-8 win. And then a 15-14 win in the state championship game, which was played back-to-back, and a tremendous moment, which they knew ended with someone turning and smiling at me and going, Mr. Robbins, that means rings and a banner, right? I said, that is correct. That does mean rings and a banner. So rings and a banner forthcoming. We'll have that for you at a future meeting. Head coach Anthony Aquendo has been with the program since its inception now 4 seasons ago at the start of the sport here at Fitchburg High School, assisted by Monty Graham and Javon Roseman, all of them Fitchburg High School alums, by the way, and student-athletes in attendance this evening. Junior Gabby Simos, dude. Freshman Nylisha Figueroa, freshman Maeve Palmer, junior Ali Diaz, sophomore Arjuna Sisavat, eighth grader Ciara Guzman, freshman Jay Rios Ferrer, senior Jaylene Melendez. Jaylene also recently had her college signing, Eastern Connecticut State University, as her commitment to play flag football. She was also the last remaining from the original team in 2023, and she was here for that state championship. Freshman Lucia Meneses, sophomore Maya Tellier, junior Serena Vu, and senior Bia Pena, who was the championship game most valuable player. Our state champion girls flag football team. Thank you all again so very much for your support this year. We're looking forward to an exciting 2026-2027, kicking off in just a couple of months. Registration open today. So there you go. We're off to the races. The year has already begun for us.
With our fancy trophy. Oh,
that's it. Absolutely. Yes. Do we want to get a picture before we...
Yeah, can we get...
Bring everyone up. Let's go.
Yep. All right.
I look forward to the time, before you do the picture,
yes.
I look forward to when you come... when this finally becomes an MIAA recognized spring sport.
You're here to that.
You know?
Congratulations, everyone.
Yeah, congrats.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, Todd. Thanks, Sarah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sarah. Thank you, Todd.
Thank you. Thank you.
Have
Take
care.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Huh?
All right, moving on. So this is another item I really look forward to every year, is acknowledging our retirees. This year, we have 12 retirees from the Fitchburg Public Schools, and I'm happy to report that among these 12 retirees, their combined amount of time of service for the Fitchburg Public Schools was 254 years.
Wow.
And this evening, I think we only have three of our staff that were able to join us this evening. Three people that I actually know very well, and I'm very happy that they came tonight. And I will actually start off, we actually have a tie with two people who have both 33 years.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah, but what about the days?
I didn't go that far. That's a lot of math. The first person I would like to acknowledge is Anne-Marie Young, 33 years in the Fitchburg Public Schools. Recently, she is, well, I know her now as a Title I teacher for Title I math at Rheingold Elementary. I was fortunate enough to work with her for several years as principal and assistant principal at South Street, and I really admire Anne-Marie Young. She's a wonderful, wonderful teacher, and we're going to miss you. And I hope you have a wonderful retirement. You have worked so hard, and I hope you enjoy every moment. You deserve it, Anne-Marie.
Thank you.
And Anne-Marie is on the next slide. Her glamour shot is up there. Looks the same as she did when I met her 16 years ago. So. When I was just, I was going to say, you haven't aged at all. Yes, you haven't aged at all. So, congratulations, Anne-Marie.
We'll want to talk to you before this, a little bit more about him, all right?
Yeah. Okay. Anne-Marie, is there anything you would like to say, please?
Honestly, just thank you for this honor. Congratulations to my fellow retirees.
Doesn't it feel good?
I'm thankful for the city of Pittsburgh and school for being hired 33 years ago to get a chance. And I'm really proud. I'm proud to have gotten to this point. And yeah, I appreciate this honor tonight, being recognized.
Thank you very much. All right, the next person who also has 33 years as a teacher, administrator, educator in Fitchburg is Miss Jennifer Fisher. Most recently, the principal at Goodrich Academy. Jen, I don't know what else to say to you. I've said a lot to you over the last 3 years as superintendent, and probably more as I started my career here 16 years ago in Fitchburg. But I did say to Jen recently, 16 years here in the district, I said, I don't know a Fitchburg Public Schools without a Jen Fisher in it. And every time before coming to Fitchburg, being in a district close by, Jen Fisher was a name. Like when anyone would say Fitchburg Public Schools, Jen Fisher would come up. So I don't know how I'm gonna know a Fitchburg Public Schools without you, Jen. So honestly, Jen, what you have done here in your 33 years has been amazing, and I thank you at the bottom of my heart for everything you've done. So thank you, Jen.
Awesome.
Jen, is there anything you'd like to leave us with?
Yeah, when I was a student.
I had Jen.
Yeah, and getting hired, I went to see Don Cummings to get my first teaching job at Crocker. And he was like, sorry, Jen, I'd love to hire you, but he sent me down to BF because I was really going to be an elementary teacher. I didn't really want to go to middle school. And then
set
I got
your whole
hired
career
at BF,
there.
And the rest is history. And 28 years in middle school with all the craziness and the DC trip, the ski trips. Kids falling out of chairlifts when I was doing ski club.
I loved ski club at BF.
Oh, we had so much fun, right? And then the DC trip was just my passion. And, you know, given those opportunities, Bernie DePasquale letting me do like these crazy science fairs and just, yeah, run with it, Fish, do what you want, yeah, we'll do that. And just being supported and just being part of such an incredible teaching community. And then, you know, kind of growing up through with Craig and becoming an administrator, and that was probably the most rewarding work I've done. Really being there with the families and the kids, and walking the walk through middle school was never easy. And then going up to central office, and then going over to Goodrich, and then finally realizing after two and a half years there, like, what was I doing in middle school for so long? High school is so great. So I feel like I'm leaving on a real high note. I feel like Goodrich is in good hands. I hope I left it better than I found it, and it's been a ride, and it's been awesome. So I appreciate your support over the years, and Pete especially, you've been there through it all with me, with all the trips, and you know, through the start of my career. So thank you, especially Pete.
You don't think they're going to really let you retire, do you?
How did you know that already?
Well, I told John I would come back, but my niece is over at McKay, so I'll be volunteering at McKay a couple days a week in her classroom, just so I don't lose the schedule. But as long as I can play golf on Mondays and Fridays like we have.
Mondays and Fridays, she's not available.
You got a plan.
So Anne Marie, watch out too, you know, they don't let you go.
I'll be happy to come back whenever they need me, so.
Thank you very much.
And last but not least, a new friend to Fitchburg, and it feels like I've known this next retiree for a long time, but it's only been 4 years, Margaret Stevenson. She is currently an ESL teacher at Rheingold Elementary School. Margaret, you've been with us for the last 4 years. During COVID, we hired you, and I think before you started your career in Leominster, correct?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, and you were there for how many years in Leominster?
17
Leominster, and then before that, Leominster, it was always been. So Leominster and Fitchburg.
Leominster and Fitchburg is that, yeah. Well, I did work with Julie Kennedy when my kids were younger, yep. But then it went to Leominster and Fitchburg.
Well, we're very happy to have you the last 4 years. I wish you were staying. Every time I go to Rheingold, I always hear her voice, and she's always out in the hall, greeting kids with a smile on her face, just, you know, a warm and welcoming environment when you come to Rheingold. And I'm going to miss seeing that when I visit. So thank you, Peggy. I didn't miss anyone else, did I? That's all that's here. But I will go through everyone else that is retiring this year. I'll go back to the first page. Donna Shalafo, Craig Shalafo. Principal, longtime principal and educator here in Fitchburg. Donna will be retiring after 16 years in the district as a paraprofessional at Fitchburg High. Maura Donovan, has been in the district for 20 years, most recently at McKay as a Title I interventionist. Tracy Donovan is a 8th grade ELA teacher at Longstrow. She has been with us for 8 years. Carlos Garcia is a social studies teacher at Fitchburg High School, and he's been with us for 37 years.
Wow. Carlos. Yeah.
Cynthia Palmy is a paraprofessional at Fitchburg High School, and she's been with us for 32 years. She actually is not retiring until October 30th, 2026, but we did want to recognize her now. So moving on. We have Alexander Rodriguez at 7 years, and Alexander has been a paraprofessional at Longstrow Middle School. And then at central office, we have Karen Tomeo, who is the HR generalist. She's been with us for 4 years. Karen will be retiring. And then another friend of ours, we have Kathleen Walker. She is currently an adjustment counselor at McKay Elementary School. Kathy has been in the district for 31 years. And we also have Judith Wright, who is a preschool teacher in the district. She's been with us for 29 years. So again, we had 12 retirees with a total of 254 years of service.
That's amazing.
So, thank you, everybody. Over the the summer, you will be receiving something in the mail from us, a small little gift showing us, just showing our appreciation to you. So thank you, everybody.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you,
everyone.
For your years of service.
Enjoy the next chapter.
Yeah. You get bored, you could always come back and sub. We need skilled retired people.
Yeah, you could run for school committee.
Yep.
All right. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, folks.
All right.
See you later.
So I did already talk a little bit about the student advisory committee. I'm not going to talk any more about that. But the other item underneath my report this evening is our last budget update for the year. So Mr. Roach and Melissa Rodriguez, or Dandini, Melissa Dandini, our accountant, has been crunching all the numbers and going through our budgets just to make sure our line items are balanced and looking at where we have some items where we need to move some money around to actually cover the costs for the end of the year. That being said, nothing that's going to surprise you. We do have some high overages in private special education tuition, transportation, some substituting information that we'll be sharing with you tonight. So this evening, Mr. Roach has worked tirelessly to provide us with the updated quarter four budget. So I am going to allow Mr. Roach to walk us through a few slides. You do have the in-depth budget in front of you. Mm-hmm. Mr. Roach and I sat down and we selected some items that I wanted Mr. Roach to actually highlight for us this evening. So Mr. Roach, you take it away.
Sure. Yeah, so we're, what you have in your report, the quarter four FY26 report, is called out in a couple of slides here in terms of the high level challenge areas. So on the slide, it's a little bit tough to see maybe, but in your report, it's on the first couple of pages. So the top 10 or bottom 10, depending upon how you organize the report, is the most over budgeted items that we have. And you can see those there. And to give some context too, I mean, we have in the area of 257 account lines. And so these are far over, and there are 59 that are, but there are 198 lines that are not. And some of those are pretty significantly under budget at the moment. And that helps us to balance overall at the end. But you know, the highlighted yellow account lines, shouldn't be surprising that they fall into the areas of special education and some of those unforeseen challenges that arise during the school year. The number two is McKinney-Vento transportation. That's transportation for homeless students. There's some silver lining in those two areas in the sense that we will have circuit breaker funds to supplement some of these special ed costs. And those are those additional costs that are provided by the state when schools go above the threshold amount for individual student costs, and that threshold amount is about $52,000. So when you have a single out-of-district student that's $500,000, then certainly, you know, you're well over that, and you get 75% or roughly thereabouts, you can have that returned. In terms of McKinney-Vento, there is a mechanism that the state provides 70% refund back to the city directly, not to the schools, but at least the city is provided with funding to support some of those overages for providing transportation to those students who fall into what would be considered homeless status. And that's providing them transportation back to their home school, that's the Fitchburg Public Schools, even if they're placed in a shelter, say, in Watertown. It could very well likely be that far away, but we would get a van set up, pick them up, bring them to school every day, and then back. And then utilities, they continue to rise. Obviously, this was a difficult snow season. We were almost double over that line, and that's just some massive storms. And every month is about $100,000 during the snow season, you know, in terms of the snow removal cost. So those would be the big ones. Just below that, another challenge area for us is substitute teacher costs. We'll spend $1 million this year on substitute teaching. And when you really think about our budget, $32 million goes directly right to the city for the indirect costs. $68 million or so is for personnel costs. So we're left with about $18 million. That's the budget. So $1 million goes right to substitute teaching. And why? Well, it's to cover costs for those folks who are absent, you know, and for different reasons. It's certainly to cover for leaves of absence. And it's definitely to cover when we do have the situation of an unfilled position. And that happens as well occasionally. And it segues to, I think, the column on the right, or the image on the right, which is a snapshot of another one of our big challenge areas, is when we have to contract out for special ed positions that we just cannot fill. And we'll spend $1 million on that this year as well, of that 18-ish. And this is an example of, you know, our highest paid teachers, the average hourly rate there is $87.83 an hour. And that's the master's 60, so they almost have a doctorate, at least in terms of credits or in-service credits. And they have quite a bit of experience. They're on the highest step or the lowest step, depending upon how you look at step 10 this year. When you look at some of the rates, so when we can't find a school psychologist, we're paying that contracted person $225 an hour, and maybe for 35 hours a week. When we can't find a board-certified behavior analyst.
Analyst, you got it.
That's $175 when you have to contract out, instead of finding a person that we would love to have as an employee of the Fitchburg Public Schools for a lot of reasons. They're part of your team now. They're not just a hired gun, and that's a terrible metaphor, I know. But these are some examples of, you know, when you contract out, which we have to do for some of these positions because they're part of specific individual education plans or substantially separate programming components. So we can move to the next slide. That just highlights...
I have a question on substitutes.
Yes.
How much of that $1 million budget for substitute teachers is just full-time substitute teachers versus our teachers that substitute on their days off or whatever?
Yeah, we do pay our teachers to substitute as well, $45 for a prep period or $45 to absorb students. So say first grade team, you have five teachers, one teacher is out. Those students from that team are sprinkled into the other four teachers. Each one of those four teachers gets 45 for the day.
And Jeremy, not to interrupt you, but I would say out of our entire sub-budget, the majority of money is going directly back to our staff members in the building.
It's more than half.
Yeah, it's more than half. Because
more than half of the $1 million go back to our existing staff to supplement their income for taking on additional duties.
Correct, because we can't find enough subs to sub in our buildings. We had, as you know, we had to come up with the contract language in last negotiations to pay our teachers to sub.
There can be some real benefits to it. Those first grade students go right into another first grade teacher's classroom. It continues right on with whatever's going on. There's other situations. Certainly the upper levels, it tends to be more, here's your assignment on the Google Classroom that the teacher left. They teach chemistry, I teach gym. I can't help you too much, but I'll be here to supervise. I'll be here to kind of just, you know, make sure you're doing your work. So it is a little different, you know, as you get into the higher content levels.
Yep, Bob.
Substituting is always an issue in many respects, but do we hire in-house permanent subs?
We do.
We do.
We have upper middle to high school?
Yeah, we have 15.
We pay like $150 bucks a week? $150 a day?
Yep.
$150 a day.
We have daily subs as well. They're $125 a day. And we have long-term subs, so that'd be maybe... potentially someone with a bachelor's degree at least, or hopefully a license. If they have a teacher license, they're paid $273 a day. But they take over the classroom at that point. They become the teacher during that period of time. It could be a two-month leave. It could be a whole year. It might be a teacher we couldn't, you know, position we couldn't fill.
Okay. So last question would be, are we competitive with the other areas for daily calling in subs?
Yeah, we are. We've looked at that, and our 125, 150, 273 rate is right there with other schools.
Okay. We've looked at that a lot.
Yeah, we have.
I think we've made like three increases over the last 5 years,
We increased it at least three times over the last 3 or 4
years. We all have paras that get subs.
Paras also sub for 70 a day. So if a paraprofessional, say, South Street, for example, they have a para in the classroom with the teacher. If the kindergarten teacher is absent, that para is probably the best sub because they work with those students every day. So that para then gets an additional $70 to cover for that class. That's not even included in this.
That's good.
What you see here, we charge that to the paraprofessional account lines. Okay. You can see one of them is actually over. Yeah. But you're right, Mr. Stevens, that's another factor that we do pull out and look at it after, and that adds up. That adds another amount to that. I'll continue on, and we can look at it. So as we move to balancing the FY26 budget, we've been just, you know, people have been working with us, like Ms. Cologne. We work with some Title I funds that we're able to find some FY26 purpose for. The same with the CPPI grant, that pre-K grant that's going year-round in a classroom at Fitchburg High School. A number of other grants have contributed. We've closed a lot of purchase orders. We've moved some to FY27 that we would have preferred to encumber in FY26, you know, especially capital projects. That's mostly that. We've definitely focused on those circuit breaker funds. You can carry that special ed circuit breaker over for 1 year. So it has a little bit of a revolving account effect in the sense that it's used for a full additional year. We're not able to really save too much there just because of the increasing costs that we encountered, but we definitely, and then when we get the final quarter, which has not been released yet, we're hoping for some additional funds in circuit breaker. And they have not released the FY27 circuit breaker.
I would say probably in the next month.
I mean, the latest I've seen it is July 8th.
Yeah, July 8th. Yeah.
Over like the past 6 years. So Melissa and I refresh that page about 10 times a day.
I've been doing that too today.
Just to see.
It's like, not come up.
Okay. We get an additional FY26 in quarter four, which could happen on transportation. And if we did, we could look at like $200,000 to $300,000 there. And then in terms of other things, you know, we may have to move some of those special ed out-of-district costs to FY27, you know, assuming that we then utilize the circuit breaker funds to address that. We can move to the next slide. So the last slide we have here is just in terms of school choice, We have, I think, squared up in terms of the Crocker project because the $2.7 million was, you know, utilized towards the Crocker project. But that does leave us at only about $750,000 in our school choice revolving account, which certainly is not where we want to be. Some positive news seems to be happening in enrollment.
Yes.
So in the last couple weeks, we are seeing a fair amount of interest in school choice for those open elementary school slots, which is great. And that will help replenish that.
We're up to 8 or 9 so far.
Which a lot of districts are seeing declining enrollment, which is really affecting their budgets significantly.
No doubt about that.
Gardner.
We have people that want to come in.
So that's exciting. I think in terms of as we look at school choice over the next year or so, I know we are going to use some additional funds to cover a couple of capital projects that exceeded the 150, the Longzhou Gym, several of the projects there, and then the abatement at the north building of South Street. So other than that, I think, you know, we'll just have to be very cautious about how we utilize those funds and really try to have that account replenish over the next year or two.
Yeah, in the city budget, we've got the allocation ready for the $750,000 for Rheingold.
That's great.
And
thank you.
You know, and then we're looking at what we need for the north building.
We'll see after.
For further conversations after the abatement.
Yeah, we'll wait for the abatement.
Yep.
So perfect.
So that's where we are.
Yeah.
And
any
appreciate
questions
all the input
about the budget?
I'd just like to say I Correct me if I'm wrong, I think it's the first time you've done the quarterly updates.
This is the first, so this was part of our, one of our goals in our strategic plan.
And I like this, I like the fact that we can see how some things early on are, it's not like a quarter of the money's been spent in the first quarter. It's just nice to know where things are, and I know that Mr. Roach in his position makes every effort to keep us informed and talk about having to transfer funds or whatever, but it gives us a better idea of where we are and what's happening and what some of the critical areas are in terms of the budget. Yeah.
No surprise.
No surprise. No surprises.
Yeah, and that is what we wanted to do. We wanted to be transparent with everybody. Yep. And that's why we decided to move forward with the quarterly budget updates. You know, Jeremy and I were asking the subcommittee the other night, but anyone else on this committee, do you like the format of this? Is it clear? Would you rather us to do something else, take something out, add something? We're open for feedback regarding this presentation. So please let us know as we move into next year. Our goal is to do this again 4 times a year.
I think it's pretty thorough. No,
it's good. Yep.
Very thorough. Okay. Yeah.
I like it, Jeremy. We're going to continue
we'll keep
with
it. As is it. But like John said, if there's other adaptations you'd like to see or modifications to the formatting, just let us know and we'll certainly incorporate that. But appreciate that.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Good job.
All right, moving on, a few things this evening for donations. We have 3 donations. The first one is to the Fitchburg High Fall Golf Team from the PGA of America Reach Foundation of New England in the amount of $1,000 that will be used to support student golf athletes. The second is the donation for Memorial Middle School. This is for the Memorial Day Car Wash fundraiser to benefit Memorial. They earned about $800, and that will go in the student activities account. And then lastly, we have donation to Fitchburg Public Schools from the Hill City in the amount of 2,688 ice cream coupons. Each student in our elementary schools is receiving 1 coupon for free ice cream for the summer.
Yay, ice cream!
Ice cream!
Hill City!
Hill City, thank you,
so
Hill
golfing,
City.
You get some ice cream.
Have some ice cream. All right. So those are the donations for you to accept this evening. And then let me explain a little bit about the grants. So on the first page, you will see 9 grants. These are all our federal grants, our Title I, Title II, Title III, Title IV, our 240 and 260 grant, which is supports our special education, our McKinney-Vento grant, which supports our homeless students, our Perkins grant, which supports our career and technical education happening throughout the district, early college grant that supports early college, and then our innovative pathways grant that also supports early college and career pathways. All these 9 grants come out over the summer. So what I am doing now is to get your permission to actually apply for them when they come out over the summer in July and August, because this is the work that we do over the summer, applying for all these. Again, these are grants that we don't know the amount of money towards these grants yet. So as soon as those do come out, I will update you. But these are the 9 grants that we need to apply for, which are all federal or state grants, okay? And then the last grant that we received from the state is the FY27 Genocide Education Grant in the amount of $60,000. This will support us for implementing the genocide education throughout the middle school and high school. This will pay for our speakers to come in next year and different activities for the genocide education. So we did receive that grant.
Do you have any sense in light of the federal grants, what will there be any big difference in what they might be compared to previous years, or do you have any idea at all in light of what's happened with the...
I can talk
Glenda
about...
is the grants director. Okay. You can talk about that. You can give them the number.
So I can talk about, we're definitely going to have some reductions that has been shared with us. For Title I, which is the biggest concern that we've had, we will have a reduction of at least 6%. We have been informed about that. We will also receive a reduction of 7% for Title IIA. It's not as large of, you know, a bucket, but it's still going to be impactful because that is where we pay any professional development that we do throughout our district. That's how I fund professional development in our district, and that's also how I give stipends for teachers if we're providing professional development during the summertime or we're having any educators leading professional development. So that's another big one. We are going to have an increase, I was informed, of 5%, but this is a very small bucket of finances from our Title IV, which is what helps pay for our credit recovery and what we use to supplement our 21st century after school program and the program that we have at South Street, because the funding that we get for those grants don't actually support all the actual student numbers that we have. Otherwise, our programming would be extremely small and we would not have as much access for our students as possible. So, yeah, I think that's where we are. Title III seems like it's going to remain the same, and that's how we support. Yeah, that is really good because there was talk about potentially cutting that, but that's how we pay for a lot of our multilingual ed resources and curriculum and supplies. So,
and would you, do you know the two that you mentioned that would be decreased? Is that pretty much for everybody in the state?
That's for everyone across the state. So one thing I can tell you, sorry, I don't know. I'm speaking into the microphone. One thing I can say about Title I, you know, across the state is the reason that that has been lowered is because the federal guidelines for poverty is different than Mass guideline for poverty. And so one thing that happened last year in our state is that we increased minimum wage. And when we increase minimum wage, the poverty level of our state actually decreased, which is great for our state, but these funds are based on poverty level at the federal level. So we don't meet the same criteria at the federal level because our definition of poverty is not the same as the federal. For federal, they only include the salary that families make, but we include the salaries, but we also are paying attention to families who have free and reduced lunch, families who participate in a SNAP program and require that. That's not in consideration for federal dollars, so that's why our dollar amount looks different in Massachusetts.
Thank you, Rhonda.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
So if you were to break this down in terms of entitlement grant versus competitive grants, are these pretty much all the entitlement?
Entitlement.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Do we go after any competitive grants at all in some respects?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of grants we go after.
Good.
Yep.
Keep it up.
Yep.
Thank you.
That's what we do. Always trying to bring money in.
That helpful.
All right, so those are on the table for approval this evening, and I guess the last piece is the policies. And policy subcommittee, please chime in. So this evening we have second and final readings for two policies that we read last time. That was the cell phone and personal electronic device policy, and then the timeout, seclusion, and physical restraint of students policy. Was there any questions on those two policies, or did anyone receive any feedback? I did not receive any feedback.
No.
Except about time on the cell phone policy. That's about it. Nothing on those two policies. Okay. So the last four policies that we did decide to move forward with you to you this evening from the policy subcommittee last week were four policies, again, that were updated from the MASC, and then we are here tonight to discuss the changes in those four policies. So the first policy that I'd like to discuss the change in is the bus driver examination and training policy. The current model policy includes outdated language that we had. The phrase in that policy, "and proof of freedom from tuberculosis," from item two should be removed, as this is no longer a legal requirement. So you should have that policy in front of you. And if you look, you can see that it was crossed out.
Yep.
Okay. The next policy is the school choice policy, JFBB. In this policy, the changes include, well, are because of the state law, Mass General Law, Chapter 76, 12BJ. That includes a sibling priority, which is not included in the model policy. In the list of requirements, we needed to add a new item number three, and that needs to say that any sibling of a student already enrolled in the district shall receive priority for admission and renumber the remaining sections. That's what I needed to do on that policy. So you can see that those were the changes on the school choice policy that was made.
Excuse me, Jonathan?
Yes.
So that would mean a sibling even would be allowed for school choice even if it wasn't a school where we had any school choice slots?
That is a good question. That would be something that I would have to look into. But I think they would at least need a spot in the district. It doesn't say school. It says that any sibling of a student already enrolled in the district shall receive priority for admission. So again, they would be able to come to one open school choice seat in our district, but I wouldn't say it would be have to be the same school.
Cool. Okay.
Obviously, we'd try to do the best for that parent, but if there wasn't a seat there, I couldn't put that child.
And it says priority for admission, not that we would over fill it.
Okay, that's what I wasn't about to say. So that's what I was wondering.
Yep.
We have some grades that we don't have any school choice
Correct.
Options.
Yep. Yep.
So that's what I was wondering if that sibling was coming in to one of those grade levels.
They would just bump someone else that would might be had a lower
from
level.
From an open position in the district.
Okay.
It wouldn't be, we would be, let's say at the middle school, since we have no seats.
Right.
We couldn't put a student there because we have no open seats.
Right. Good.
So,
okay. All right.
That's my understanding, Jim.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yep. All right, the next policy is KGB, the Parent Advisory Council policy. The policy language on parent advisory councils has been updated to remove best practices and to include the guidance regarding PACs, parent advisory councils, not being subject to open meeting laws. So as you can see, that was what was updated on that policy, KBG.
KGB.
KB, wait.
KGB.
It's actually KBG, not KGB.
KGB.
KGB has a different meaning.
Yes, it does.
KBG.
Well, I guess the KGB isn't subject to open meeting.
No. And I typed this, so who knows what I was thinking. All right, the last policy in front of you this evening is JLCD, which was a policy that had to have a lot of updates. And this is the administering medicine to students. So this policy had to align with laws 105 CMR 210. And those regulations issued by the Massachusetts Department of Public Health to provide for a safe and proper storage and administration of medicines to students in the Commonwealth's public and non-public primary and secondary schools. It also permits school nurses to delegate responsibility for administration of medications to trained nursing supervised unlicensed school personnel. So policy JLCD, you can see those changes. In addition, we did update some job titles in this. For example, we don't call our director of nursing a school leader. We call her director of nursing. So we changed that to fit our language. And I think we also added on page one where it says designation of a medication program manager. We don't have a medication program manager. The school nurses do that, so that's why we added school nurse there. But everything else was directly from Massachusetts Association of School Committees. Any questions on these six policies? I do ask that we do just do the first reading and waive the second reading for the last four, so we can move forward with getting those in the policy books. Mayor, that's all I had.
All right. Thank you, Superintendent. So we have many action items before us. I might suggest that we bundle all of the action items except for the ones that require a suspension of the rules, or we could start with suspension of the rules for the policy readings.
Why don't we do the suspension of the rules first?
Okay, I would ask for a suspension of the rules for the policy items to waive the second reading and pass it full.
Waive the first reading. Waive the first reading. No.
This would be its first reading, this so we'd be waiving its second reading. This would be its first
I always do that
and
wrong.
Final.
Yeah. I always do that wrong.
First and final reading.
Yeah.
So that's what I would ask of the body.
I make a motion that we have the first reading and we waive the second.
For the policy. For the policy items.
For the policy items.
I'll second that motion.
Motion and second to suspend the rules for the policy items as noted. Questions or comments on the motion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right, that is unanimously passed. We have the policy items suspended before us, and all of the action items are before us as well.
So we could now just make a bundle for everything, right? All right. So I'll make a motion to bundle action items 26, 6, 3, 8 through 26, 6, 4, 9.
I would just ask if we can hold off on 649 so that I can do a roll call vote for that.
All right, so the bundle item would be 26638 through 26648.
I'll second the motion.
Motion and second to bundle all action items before us except 649. Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
All right, that's unanimously bundled. We have the bundle before us.
Make a motion to approve the bundle.
Second.
Motion and second to approve the bundle. Comments or questions on the motion? All in favor?
Aye.
That is also unanimously accepted. Now before us, we have 26649, the vote to approve the recommendation for a 2.5% salary increase for Superintendent Thompson for the 2026 to 2027 school year.
I'll make that recommendation to approve 26649.
Second.
Motion and second to approve the 26649. On the motion.
I do have a brief question. Is this something that we've already accounted for the possibility of within the budget?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah, so this, I thought it was only fair to take the same increase as the other educators in the district this year at 2.5%.
Same as everything. Yep.
I figured it was accounted for. I just wanted to ask.
Okay. Any further comments or questions? Okay. The motion before us is to approve the recommendation. I will take this by roll call vote. Vice Chair Stevens?
Yes.
Mr. Walsh?
Yes.
Ms. Jeffries?
Yes.
Ms. England?
Yes.
Mr. Campbell?
Yes.
And I'm a yes. That is unanimously approved. Thank you very much. Now we have other business, an executive session, and there's none at this time. An adjournment.
Yes. The motion to adjourn.
Second.
Motion and second to adjourn. I'll take that by consent. Thank you. We'll adjourn.